Merry Christmas. It looks like it outside, I'm telling you. And I think that's exciting. I love this weather because it makes me appreciate the fact I don't live in Alaska. Just so you know, on the flip side of your program is the outline for tonight, if you care to follow along. That's up to you. But it's funny, I've been thinking about how to say all this and how to talk about all this in a way that will leave you more than just, oh yeah, I've heard that before, let's get on with it. You know, I'll give you 25 or 35 minutes, Jeff, and then I'm going to get antsy and I got to get out of here. You know, it typically happens these times of year when we're on Good Friday, when we're thinking about and looking at and reflecting on the death of Jesus. We've heard the story before. For some of us, we've heard it a long time. This will be my 49th rendering or hearing and restating over again the story of Jesus. You know, as I grew up, and then for the last 20 years, saying it out in front of people, you know, and I wanted to do it in a way that would really help us, you know, really think about it instead of just say, yeah, I've heard that before, or more than just say, yeah, okay. But I really wanted to change the way we do life, change the way we leave here and live. And really, it's kind of in keeping with the series that we've been going through for eight or nine weeks now, I guess. You know, call that Risk. And today we just thought that it was highly appropriate that we take a look at the last, most painful risk that Jesus took, which was the idea of risking rejection. And that's why tonight's about remembering. Because it's about us remembering what Jesus did for you and I. You know, that's the thrust behind the Christian faith, is Jesus dying on the cross, Jesus being rejected. But the power of the Christian faith is what we're going to celebrate in 2 days on Sunday, Easter Sunday. Even though I believe that power we should celebrate every day, not just on Easter. It should really transform our hearts and the way we live our lives. You know, not just make it a big deal on Easter, make it a big deal every time we wake up on the green side of the lawn. You know, I just really think that's, we need to thank God for the life He's given us and the new life that He's given us, you know, in Jesus. As I started saying, tonight's about remembering. We need to remember how much God loves us. And how He showed that love to us through Jesus. Because, quite frankly, I don't believe we hear that enough. We may hear, but when we're out working or out whatever, we don't hear that a lot. It's about us also remembering that Jesus, you know, what He did when He went all out and put it all in. You know, because He did do that. Jesus put everything on the line. And consequently, each one of us who call ourselves Christ followers should be willing to do exactly the same thing, put ourselves on the line, everything. But honestly, we really don't. We whine about the gas prices being, you know, $3.30 a gallon or whatever they are going to be now. Unless you're driving diesel, then I'm happy at $3.30 a gallon because it's $4.14 or something. But we don't like to do that because of the cost to us. And here in America, we're not too good with things costing us much. And so I figured that the best way in helping this to become more real to us is by helping us to remember, to take a look back at what Jesus did. You see, because everything that we tried to do tonight, through the interactive scripture reading, through the video, through the music, was designed to help us remember what Jesus did. And maybe hear it in a different way. Maybe through a different medium. And so what I want to do is I just want to pick up some of the scriptures that we read through and we heard read to us. Isaiah 53, it says this: "He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was our sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought that his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us, like sheep, have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone. But he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave." You see, those words of Isaiah, those excerpts from Isaiah 53, are a picture for you and I to see something, to see how much God loved people and to what extent he was willing to go to pay for their sinfulness. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, those words are chilling. They are chilling. Because they're also a reminder to me that as much as I'd like to think that my life is my life, it really isn't. My life was paid for by someone else, and that someone was Jesus. And so it's not my own life. Because I was bought with a price. The rejection, the suffering, the death of Jesus. And I just believe that remembering and looking back on the death of Jesus helps us to see the risk he was willing to take, the extremes that he was willing to go to. Because Jesus did take a huge risk, and really the biggest one is the risk of rejection. And he did it for the greater cause of drawing people to God. And see, this idea of rejection is something that you and I, quite frankly, will avoid at all costs. And yet I believe that our ideas about direction, or rejection, I should say, might be wrong. We see it as a negative, but maybe it's not a negative. Maybe rejection is something we should embrace instead of trying to avoid. Let me just ask a question about to some of you guys when you were single. Okay? So those of you who are married, think back when you were single. Those of you who are single, think about it now. How many of you guys, when you were single, at some point didn't invite a woman out because you were afraid? I'll raise my hand. I remember that. And what were you afraid of? Being rejected. That she was going to turn you down. You know? It's kind of the way it is. That fear of rejection, that fear of being rejected. But what's funny is some of us same guys will ride dirt bikes, bungee jump, do all kinds of adrenaline pumping, crazy, stupid stuff. What's wrong with us? Don't we fear the rope breaking on the bungee cord or, you know, something? It's really kind of amazing how we do that. And yet that fear of rejection will cause us to wrestle with asking a girl out. I think that's interesting. I think that's kind of amazing. As a matter of fact, if you'd hear my wife tell the story, she would even say, or she used to say at some point, that I had never really even asked her to marry me. Truth be told, she's probably right. I remember it. We were up north at my mom and dad's place in Onaway, Michigan. It was Labor Day weekend, 1977. I'll never forget it. Okay, so it was a long time ago. What can I tell you? We were up there, parents, family, you know, we were all up there. And so I said, hey, let's go for a walk. So we went out for a walk in the woods behind my parents' property up there. You know, we were walking and stuff. And so then we just kind of stopped and I pulled this ring out of my pocket and I opened it up. I didn't even say here. I went like that. Honey, I've told the truth finally after all these years. Okay? I didn't want her to say no, you know? So I figured if I never asked, I was safe. But I just wonder how many of us sitting here have had negative experience of being rejected. I sure have. You know, maybe passed over for a job. Maybe, you know, not promoted. Maybe not being accepted into a group at school. And we've all have horror stories that we can point back to. But maybe this idea of rejection is a positive thing. Michael DeMarco, in his book All In, he said, listen to these words that he said. I'm just going to do a quote here. Time and time again, people tried to avoid rejection in relationships either by not dating at all or by blurring the lines between friendship and dating. The irony is that rejection is a natural part of life. From our earliest days, we remember picking teams in gym class, awkward middle school social events, the stress surrounding a potential prom date, and interviewing for our first job, all involving potential rejection. Even saying, I love you to someone for the first time is fraught with rejection peril. Or is it? DeMarco says. He continues, rejection is consistently portrayed as a negative. We hear the rejected say, it feels like the end of the world. I never want to go through this again. And then he says, the funny thing is that rejection always makes things better. Did you hear that quote right? Rejection always makes things better, providing you believe what Paul wrote in Romans 8 when he said this, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. And if you believe that scripture, then you have to believe that even rejection turns out good, because it says all things. It says everything. And that means even rejection. And according to DeMarco, most of the time we hurt from rejection because we didn't have a proper perspective on the circumstance or the situation that we were facing, and we let things get out of control. And he goes on to say, and I love this, he goes on to say this. He says that rejection is your reset button. Rejection is your reset button. And I kind of agree with that. You see, what we're looking for in life is an easy button.
That was easy.
That's what we're looking for.
That was easy.
Things get out of control, hit the easy button. That was easy. Piece of cake. But you know what you find out after a period of time?
That was easy.
It's all lip service. It ain't easy. I've got one of these at my office at home. I've got one. This is the one from my desk in there. And every once in a while, I know Anita walks in and sees me pounded on this thing. That was easy. Yeah, you think? And yet, this is what we want of life. This is what we want, is we want easy. We want it simplistic. We want to get out of our difficulty. And yet, what DeMarco is suggesting is this. You didn't qualify for the job. Click. Reboot, start over. That's what he's saying, is that rejection is a reset button to help move you forward. Now, I'm not suggesting that rejection is easy, because it's not. But I believe it can bring balance back to our lives. I believe it's sort of a way for God helping us to get focused again. Focused on what's important and what's real. Some people would call those wake-up calls. You know, maybe it helps us not be so cocky and sure of ourselves. Know any teenager? I mean, anybody like that? You see, we don't like rejection, yet Jesus was Jesus willingly walked towards it and faced it. He did. And maybe there's something you and I need to learn about Jesus' rejection. More than just the obvious, that he faced it for our benefit. That he faced it so that our sins could be forgiven. That he faced it so that we could be made whole. That he faced it so that we could be connected to God. Maybe there's something bigger than this in this rejection thing that we need to look at. Maybe there's something about ourselves that we need to see. Or maybe there's something about God that we need to see. And I really believe that as we take a look at Jesus' rejection, it really, for us, helps us take a look at how we should face and go after life. What can we learn through rejection? I believe the first thing that we can learn is that life is not on our terms. Hello? Not 90 days, same as cash. Not everything I want when I want it. But rejection proves to us that life is not on our terms. And I think we need to see that a little bit more. It shows me when I'm rejected that life's not about me. Guess what? When something doesn't happen the way I want it to happen, when I have a rejection in my life, life still continues to go on in spite of me. It really does. You see, more importantly, it's really my life is about God's plan for me and his plan for my life. And am I willing to integrate God's plan in my life and set aside my plan for my life? You know, as much as I desire this, my life is not about me having a stress-free life to its fullest enjoyment of what I want. It's not about hitting
that was easy.
The easy button when things get tough. But Paul reminds us in Philippians 2, he says this, put yourself aside. I want to read that again, because I need it. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. Don't be obsessed with getting your own advantage. Forget yourselves long enough to lend a helping hand. Think of yourselves the way Christ Jesus thought of himself. And really, as I allow God's plan to work in me and as you allow God's plan for you to work in you, we become less focused on ourselves and more focused on those around us. We really do if we take the time to do that. And Jesus reminds us that we need to make this a daily practice of focusing on God's plan for us. A daily practice of looking to the needs of other people. A practice of allowing his plan to work in our lives. You know, Jesus reminded his followers that, you know, that they didn't understand or get the terms that God had for their lives. You know, right after Peter makes the proclamation, you are the Christ of God. You know, you are the Son of God. You're the Messiah. He makes this great proclamation. And Jesus says these words. Listen to these words. They're chilling. They're absolutely chilling. And he said, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and he must be killed and on the third day be raised to life. And then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will save it. You see, Jesus was letting his disciples know that life wasn't on their terms. They could live life on their terms if they wanted to. But if you wanted the full life, the abundant life that Jesus was talking about, you would live the life that God had for you. That God had a bigger plan for them. That God has a bigger plan for you. And so we have to take the time daily to practice the rejection of our desire to do what we want to do. We have to reject the desire to do what we want and allow God to do what He wants. You see, rejection centers us. And I believe that that's what we see through rejection. The first thing is that life's not on our terms. The second thing we learn through rejection is that God loves us. And it's more than just God loves you, God loves you, God loves you. It is the clanging cymbal throughout history for the last 2,000 years. God loves you no matter who you are, what you've done, where you've been, where you're currently sitting, or what you currently have going on in your life right now. No matter what you're struggling with right this second, how good you've been or how bad you've been, God loves you. And that's something that we have a hard time grappling with. Because we don't love people who don't act appropriately. Our love's conditional. God's love is unconditional. You know, God has seen your worst. Your worst day, your worst sin, your worst anger, your worst fear. And He died for you. I mean, that is an awesome reminder, an awesome wake-up call on how much He loves us. That in spite of that, He loves me. And it's a reminder that when we screw up, and we're gonna, when we do, Jesus still loves us. Because Romans 5 reminds us, but God shows His great love for us in this way. Christ died for us while we were still sinners. What a great reminder. What a great reminder that Jesus' death, His rejection, His resurrection paid the price for our worst, no matter what. No matter what. So God loves you. God loves you. I mean, that's a good thing. Actually, that's a great thing. And that's something that I think we need to have all over the place so that it's a reminder. Because many times we don't love ourselves. I was just watching over the last couple of days in the Philippines, the practice of self-flagellation, you know, where they just beat themselves senseless going over what Christ had done as, you know, somehow paying the price for themselves. They're missing the point. Christ already did it. He did it. He did it for you and for me and for all of us. And I believe the last thing that we can learn through rejection is this. Jesus is always with us. Jesus is always with us. If it's not good enough, if it wasn't good enough that God had a plan for my life, if it's not or wasn't good enough that God loves me no matter what, on my good days, my bad days, and just my crummy days, if it wasn't good enough that my sin was paid for at the rejection and suffering and crucifixion of Jesus, I also have this promise from Jesus. You have this promise too. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That means He's not going to bail on you like a friend. He's not going to bail on you like someone close to you. He's not going to bail on you like a spouse or whatever you've had bail on you. He's not. A parent, a child, whatever. It means He's not going to bail on you. He won't reject you ever. He's going to be with you. And Jesus has promised to us is forever. You know, what a comfort, what a peace this is. And you know what? For Zach Polkley, who's in the hospital, Jesus is with him right now. Right now. And this is for those of you who right now are sitting here struggling with something or anything or everything in your life. It might be your health, it might be a job, it might be a combination of the two, it could be everything. Jesus is with you. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is with you right now. Wherever you go, wherever you find yourself laying your head, Jesus is with you. When life is good and when life is bad, Jesus is with you. When things are going well or things are stinking up the place like an outhouse, Jesus is with you. When you're facing a wave of rejection and you're just not sure how you're going to make it through, hello? Jesus is with you. And since Jesus is with us, I believe he's asking us to take risks. And yes, to risk rejection for those things that he wants us to do. He wants you and I to risk rejection. As a matter of fact, inside your program, did you notice what was in there? One thing. Did you notice this? You knew I was going to do this. Some of you, you know, came on Sunday and said, oh, this is a cool idea. I'd like to invite somebody, got an idea, and you never got around to it. And you're figuring, well, you know what? They'll never really know. It's true, we won't. God does. You need to risk rejection. Here's the deal. See, you could have gotten by a whole lot easier if you would have just put the address down and popped it in the mail. But now you need to take it because there's not enough time to mail it and hand it to somebody. Put it in their hand and invite them to one of our two Easter services. 9 o'clock for the early birds, 11 o'clock for the sleeper inners. That's me. The celebrators, I call them. People that love life and want everyone else to love it like them. But the question is, will you risk rejection and do that? Who is it that you need to take a risk on? Who is it that maybe you listened on Sunday and you said, oh yeah, I need to invite so-and-so and so-and-so. You know, who is it? Father, I just ask that you bring to mind to each and every one of us, somebody that we need to put this in the hands of. And then God, you give us the courage to follow through and do it. You might want to write the name down of that person on that line, because if you're over 30, you might forget. You might. And if you're closer to 50, I can bet before you leave here, you'll forget. Definitely. I'm going to be 50 in 2 months, so I know that road. And then Kevin's 3 weeks behind me, just thought I'd put that in. I think Molly's a month before us, or, you know, something like that. I don't know. Yeah. And isn't Karen coming up on 50? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, I know. See, Jesus promises to be with us no matter what. He does. Write down the name of that person. And then you know what? Say, God, give me the courage and the opportunity to talk to this person, invite him to come and see, come in here, come and meet me on Sunday morning. To hear about the bridge that God built to bring us back to him. And that person, that name, is really the person that you should take a risk on and invite. Will you risk rejection for Jesus? Will you really? Will you embrace rejection for your life and see it as God's reset for you, recentering you for the purpose and focus of your life? Will you really? Jesus risked rejection for us to offer us everything we need, to offer us that peace and that hope, to show us that God's got a plan for our lives, to remind us how much God loves us, and to remind us that He's always going to be with us no matter what. We take a chance on Him. We take a chance that maybe, just maybe, this person that God brought to mind to you might come to know Him, or come to recommit their life to Him, or come to know Him for the first time on Sunday. That could happen. And imagine how amazing that would be if you took the risk. Jesus did. And He knows you can as well. That's why He's put that name on your heart, because you're wired to reach that person. Let's take the risk like Jesus did. And let's be Jesus to those around us that God places on our hearts to reach out to. And let's invite Him to make a difference in their lives so that they can see what we've got. So they can have that peace. So they can know that love. So that they can be reminded and feel the presence of God with them always. Let's pray. Father, we just thank You for the opportunity, the reminder of looking back and remembering what Jesus has done for us. We thank You for Your love for us. We ask, Lord, that You give us the courage. You give us the courage to remember and reflect and know and not forget this day. That as You, Lord Jesus, were rejected, that You did it for a higher good. God, help us to see rejection in our lives, not as negatives, but as You moving us and directing us and shifting us and shaping us. And God, give us the courage to face that. Help us always to know how much You love us. Help us to always remember that it's not about us and our direction for life, but God, it's more important what You have planned for our life. And then, Jesus, we ask that You help us to remember that You're always with us. And give us the courage today to embrace, Jesus, what You've done for us, but then to also take those names, that name that You put it on our heart, and hand that thing to invite somebody to come and see, come and hear the greatest offer ever made, the greatest act ever done, the greatest price ever paid. And so, Jesus, we just thank You. And we're humbled. We're humbled at the price that You paid for us. And we just give You thanks. We give You honor. We give You praise. We give You glory for what You've done. Make it come alive in us from here on out. Help us to see it in a way like never before. And help us to live differently as a result of it, we ask. In Your name, amen.